of those do they finally purchase? That matrix of visual and business data gives AI-enabled supermarkets the same kind of rich understanding of consumer behavior that was previously reserved for online retailers. Rounding the corner toward the wine aisle, a friendly young man in a concierge uniform approaches.
"Hi, Mr. Lee. How have you been?" he asks.
"We've just got in a shipment of some fantastic Napa wines. I understand that your wife's birthday is coming up, and we wanted to offer you a 10% discount on your first purchase of the 2014 Opus 1. Your wife normally goes for Overture, and this is the premium offering from that same winery. It has some wonderful flavors, hints of coffee, and even dark chocolate. Would you like a tasting?" He knows my weakness for California wines, and I take him up on the offer. It's indeed fantastic. "I love it," I say, handing the wine glass to the young man. "I'll take two bottles."
"Excellent choice. You can continue with your shopping, and I'll bring those bottles to you in just a moment. If you'd like to schedule regular deliveries to your home or need recommendations on what else to try, you can find those in the Yongwei app or with me here."
All the concierges are knowledgeable, friendly, and trained in the art of the upsell. It's far more socially engaged work than traditional supermarket jobs, with all employees ready to discuss recipes, farm-to-table sourcing, and how each product compares with what I've tried in the past. The shopping trip goes on like this, with my card leading me through our typical purchases, and concierges occasionally nudging me to splurge on items that algorithms predict I'll like. As a concierge is bagging my goods, my phone buzzes with this trip's receipt in my WeChat wallet. When they're finished, the shopping cart guides itself back to its rack, and I stroll the two blocks home to my family. Perception AI-powered shopping trips like this will capture one of the fundamental contradictions of the AI age before us. It will feel both completely ordinary and totally revolutionary. Much of our daily activity will still follow our everyday established patterns, but the digitization of the world will eliminate common points of friction and tailor services to each individual. They will bring the convenience and abundance of the online world into our offline reality. Just as important, by understanding and predicting the habits of each shopper, these stores will make major improvements in their supply chains, reducing food waste and increasing profitability. And a supermarket like the one I've described isn't far off. The core technologies already exist, and it's largely a matter now of working out minor kinks in the software, integrating the back end of the supply chain, and building out the stores themselves. An OMO-powered education. These kinds of immersive OMO scenarios go far beyond shopping. These same techniques, visual identification, speech recognition, creation of a detailed profile based on one's past behavior, can be used to create a highly tailored experience in education. Present-day education systems are still largely run on the 19th-century factory model of education. All students are forced to learn at the same speed, in the same way, at the same place, and at the same time. Schools take an assembly line approach, passing children from grade to grade each year, largely irrespective of whether or not they absorbed what was taught. It's a model that once made sense given the severe limitations on teaching resources, namely the time and attention of someone who can teach, monitor, and evaluate students. But AI can help us lift those limitations. The perception, recognition, and recommendation abilities of AI can tailor the learning process to each student and also free up teachers for more one-on-one instruction time. The AI-powered education experience takes place across four scenarios: in-class teaching, homework and drills, tests and grading, and customized tutoring. Performance and behavior in these four settings all feed into and build off of the bedrock of AI-powered education, the student profile. That profile contains a detailed accounting of everything that affects a student's learning process, such as what concepts they already grasp well, what they struggle with, how they react to different teaching methods, how attentive they are during class, how quickly they answer questions, and what incentives drive them.
To see how this data is gathered and used to upgrade the education process, let's look at the four scenarios described above. During in-class teaching, schools will employ a dual teacher model that combines a remote broadcast lecture from a top educator and more personal attention by the in-class teacher. For the first half of class, a top-rated teacher delivers a lecture via a large-screen television at the front of the class. That teacher lectures simultaneously to around 20 classrooms and asks questions that students must answer via handheld clickers, giving the lecturer real-time feedback on whether students comprehend the concepts. During the lecture, a video conference camera at the front of the room uses facial recognition and posture analysis to take attendance, check for student attentiveness, and assess the level of understanding based on gestures such as nodding, shaking one's head, and expressions of puzzlement. All of this data, answers to clicker questions, attentiveness, comprehension, goes directly into the student profile, filling in a real-time picture of what the students know and what they need extra help with. But in-class learning is just a fraction of the whole AI education picture. When students head home, the student profile combines with question-generating algorithms to create homework assignments precisely tailored to the student's abilities. While the whiz kids must complete higher-level problems that challenge them, the students who have yet to fully grasp the material are given more fundamental questions and perhaps extra drills. At each step along the way, students' time and performance on different problems feed into their student profiles, adjusting the subsequent problems to reinforce understanding. In addition, for classes such as English, which is mandatory in Chinese public schools, AI-powered speech recognition can bring top-flight English instruction to the most remote regions. High-performance speech recognition algorithms can be trained to assess students' English pronunciation, helping them improve intonation and accent without the need for a native English speaker on site. From a teacher's perspective, these same tools can be used to alleviate the burden of routine grading tasks, freeing up teachers to spend more time on the students themselves. Chinese companies have already used Perception AI's visual recognition abilities to build scanners that can grade multiple choice and fill in the blank tests. Even in essays, standard errors such as spelling or grammar can be marked automatically, with predetermined deductions of points for certain mistakes. This AI-powered technology will save teachers time in correcting the basics, letting them shift that time to communicating with students about higher-level writing concepts. Finally, for students who are falling behind, the AI-powered student profile will notify parents of their child's situation, giving a clear and detailed explanation of what concepts the student is struggling with. The parents can use this information to enlist a remote tutor through services such as VIP Kid, which connects American teachers with Chinese students for online English classes. Remote tutoring has been around for some time, but Perception AI now allows these platforms to continuously gather data on student engagement through expression and sentiment analysis. That data continually feeds into a student's profile, helping the platforms filter for the kinds of teachers that keep students engaged. Almost all of the tools described here already exist, and many are being implemented in different classrooms across China. Taken together, they constitute a new AI-powered paradigm for education, one that merges the online and offline worlds to create a learning experience tailored to the needs and abilities of each student. China appears poised to leapfrog the United States in education AI, in large part due to voracious demand from Chinese parents. Chinese parents of only children pour money into their education, a result of deeply entrenched Chinese values, intense competition for university spots, and a public education system of mixed quality. Those parents have already driven services like VIP Kid to a valuation of over $3 billion in just a few years' time. Public spaces and private data. Creating and leveraging these OMO experiences requires vacuuming up oceans of data from the real world. Optimizing traffic flows via Alibaba's City Brain requires slurping up video feeds from around the city. Tailoring OMO retail experiences for each shopper requires identifying them via facial recognition. And accessing the power of the internet via voice commands requires technology that listens to our every word. That type of data collection may rub many Americans the wrong way. They don't want Big Brother or corporate America to know too much about what they're up to. But people in China are more accepting of having their faces, voices, and shopping choices captured and digitized. This is another example of the broader Chinese willingness to trade some degree of privacy for convenience. That surveillance filters up from individual users to entire urban environments. Chinese cities already use a dense network of cameras and sensors to enforce traffic laws. That web of surveillance footage is now feeding directly into optimization algorithms for traffic management, policing, and emergency services. It's up to each country to make its own decisions on how to balance personal privacy and public data. Europe has taken the strictest approach to data protection by introducing the General Data Protection Regulation, a law that sets a variety of restrictions on the collection and use of data within the European Union. The United States continues to grapple with implementing appropriate protections to user privacy, a tension illustrated by Facebook's Cambridge Analytica scandal and subsequent congressional hearings. China began implementing its own cybersecurity law in 2017, which included punishments for the illegal collection or sale of user data. There's no right answer to questions about what level of social surveillance is a worthwhile price for greater convenience and safety, or what level of anonymity we should be guaranteed at airports or subway stations. But in terms of immediate impact, China's relative openness with data collection in public spaces is giving it a massive head start on implementation of perception AI. It is accelerating the digitization of urban environments and opening the door to new OMO applications in retail, security, and transportation. But pushing perception AI into these spheres requires more than just video cameras and digital data. Unlike internet and business AI, perception AI is a hardware-heavy enterprise. As we turn hospitals, cars, and kitchens into OMO environments, we will need a diverse array of sensor-enabled hardware devices to sync up the physical and digital worlds.
Made in Shenzhen. Silicon Valley may be the world champion of software innovation, but Shenzhen wears that crown for hardware. In the last 5 years, this young manufacturing metropolis on China's southern coast has turned into the world's most vibrant ecosystem for building intelligent hardware. Creating an innovative app requires almost no real-world tools. All you need is a computer and a programmer with a clever idea. But building the hardware for perception AI, shopping carts with eyes and stereos with ears, demands a powerful and flexible manufacturing ecosystem, including sensor suppliers, injection mold engineers, and small-batch electronics factories. When most people think of Chinese factories, they envision sweatshops with thousands of underpaid workers stitching together cheap shoes and teddy bears. These factories still do exist, but the Chinese manufacturing ecosystem has undergone a major technological upgrade. Today, the greatest advantage of manufacturing in China isn't the cheap labor. Countries like Indonesia and Vietnam offer lower wages. Instead, it's the unparalleled flexibility of the supply chains and the armies of skilled industrial engineers who can make prototypes of new devices and build them at scale. These are the secret ingredients powering Shenzhen, whose talented workers have transformed it from a dirt-cheap factory town to a go-to city for entrepreneurs who want to build new drones, robots, wearables, or intelligent machines. In Shenzhen, those entrepreneurs have direct access to thousands of factories and hundreds of thousands of engineers who help them iterate faster and produce goods cheaper than anywhere else. At the city's dizzying electronics markets, they can choose from thousands of different variations of circuit boards, sensors, microphones, and miniature cameras. Once a prototype is assembled, the builders can go door to door at hundreds of factories to find one capable of producing their product in small batches or at large scale. That geographic density of part suppliers and product manufacturers accelerates the innovation process. Hardware entrepreneurs say that a week spent working in Shenzhen is equivalent to a month in the United States. As perception AI transforms our lived environment, the ease of experimentation and the production of smart devices gives Chinese startups an edge. Shenzhen is open to international hardware startups, but locals have a heavy home court advantage. The many frictions of opening in a foreign country, language barrier, visa issues, tax complications, and distance from headquarters can slow down American startups and raise the cost of their products. Massive multinationals like Apple have the resources to leverage Chinese manufacturing to the fullest. But for foreign startups, small frictions can spell doom. Meanwhile, homegrown hardware startups in Shenzhen are like kids in a candy store, experimenting freely and building cheaply. Me First. The Chinese hardware startup Xiaomi gives a glimpse of what a densely woven web of perception AI devices could look like. Launched as a low-cost smartphone maker that took the country by storm, Xiaomi is now building a network of AI-empowered home devices that will turn our kitchens and living rooms into OMO environments. Central to that system is the Mi AI speaker, a voice command AI device similar to the Amazon Echo, but at around half the price, thanks to the Chinese home court manufacturing advantage. That advantage is then leveraged to build a range of smart sensor-driven home devices, air purifiers, rice cookers, refrigerators, security cameras, washing machines, and autonomous vacuum cleaners. Xiaomi doesn't build all these devices itself. Instead, it has invested in 220 companies and incubated 29 startups, many operating in Shenzhen, whose intelligent home products are hooked into the Xiaomi ecosystem. Together, they are creating an affordable, intelligent home ecosystem with Wi-Fi-enabled products that find each other and make configuration easy. Xiaomi users can then simply control the entire ecosystem via voice command or directly on their phone. It's a constellation of price, diversity, and capability that has created the world's largest network of intelligent home devices. 85 million by the end of 2017, far ahead of any comparable U.S. networks. It's also an ecosystem built on the Made in Shenzhen advantage. Low prices and China's massive market are turbocharging the data-gathering process for Xiaomi, fueling a virtuous cycle of stronger algorithms, smarter products, better user experience, more sales, and even more data. It's an ecosystem that has produced 4 unicorn startups within Xiaomi's ecosystem alone, and is driving Xiaomi toward an IPO predicted to value the company at around $100 billion. As perception AI finds its way into more pieces of hardware, the entire home will feed into and operate off digitized real-world data. Your AI fridge will order more milk when it sees that you're running low. Your cappuccino machine will kick into gear at your voice command. The AI-equipped floors of your elderly parents will alert you immediately if they've tripped and fallen. Third-wave AI products like these are on the verge of transforming our everyday environment, blurring lines between the digital and physical world until they disappear entirely. During this transformation, Chinese users' cultural nonchalance about data privacy and Shenzhen's strength in hardware manufacturing give it a clear edge in implementation. Today, China's edge is slight, 60-40, but I predict that in 5 years' time, the above factors will give China a more than 80-20 chance of leading the United States and the rest of the world in the implementation of perception AI. These third-wave AI innovations will create tremendous economic opportunities and also lay the foundation for the fourth and final wave, full autonomy. Fourth wave, autonomous AI. Once machines can see and hear the world around them, they'll be ready to move through it safely and work in it productively. Autonomous AI represents the integration and culmination of the 3 preceding waves, fusing machines' ability to optimize from extremely complex datasets with their newfound sensory powers. Combining these superhuman powers yields machines that don't just understand the world around them, they shape it. Self-driving cars may be on everyone's mind these days, but before we dive into autonomous vehicles, it's important to widen the lens and recognize just how deep and wide a footprint fourth-wave AI will have. Autonomous AI devices will revolutionize so much of our daily lives, including our malls, restaurants, cities, factories, and fire departments. As with the different waves of AI, this won't happen all at once. Early autonomous robotics applications will work only in highly structured environments where they can create immediate economic value. That means primarily factories, warehouses, and farms. But aren't these places already highly automated? Hasn't heavy machinery already taken over many blue-collar line jobs? Yes, the developed world has largely replaced raw human muscle with high-powered machines. But while these machines are automated, they are not autonomous. While they can repeat an action, they can't make decisions or improvise according to changing conditions. Entirely blind to visual inputs, they must be controlled by a human or operate on a single, unchanging track. They can perform repetitive tasks, but they can't deal with any deviations or irregularities in the objects they manipulate. But by giving machines the power of sight, the sense of touch, and the ability to optimize from data, we can dramatically expand the number of tasks they can tackle. Strawberry fields and robotic beetles. Some of these applications are already at hand. Picking strawberries sounds like a straightforward task, but the ability to find, judge, and pluck fruits from plants proved impossible to automate before autonomous AI. Instead, tens of thousands of low-paid workers had to walk, hunched over, through strawberry fields all day, using their eyes and dexterous fingers to get the job done. It's grueling and tedious work, and many California farmers have watched fruit rot on their fields when they can't find people willing to take it on. But the California-based startup Traptic has created a robot that can handle the task. The device is mounted on the back of a small tractor, or in the future, an autonomous vehicle, and uses advanced vision algorithms to find the strawberries amid a sea of foliage. Those same algorithms check the color of the fruit to judge ripeness, and a machine arm delicately plucks them without any damage to the berry. Amazon's warehouses gave us an early glimpse of how transformative these technologies can be. Just 5 years ago, they looked like traditional warehouses. Long aisles of sedentary shelves with humans walking or driving down the aisles to fetch inventory. Today, the humans stay put and the shelves come to them. Warehouses are covered with roving bands of autonomous beetle-like robots that scurry around with square-shaped towers of merchandise sitting on their backs. These beetles roam the factory floor, narrowly avoiding one another and bringing a handful of items to stationary humans when they need those goods. All the employees need to do is grab an item off that tower, scan it, and place it in a box. The humans stand in one place while the warehouse performs an elegantly choreographed autonomous ballet all around them. All of these autonomous robots have one thing in common. They create direct economic value for their owners. As noted, autonomous AI will surface first in commercial settings because these robots create a tangible return on investment by doing the jobs of workers who are growing either more expensive or harder to find. Domestic workers in the United States, cleaners, cooks, and caretakers, largely fit those criteria as well, but we're unlikely to see autonomous AI in the home anytime soon. Counter to what sci-fi films have conditioned us to believe, human-like robots for the home remain out of reach. Seemingly simple tasks like cleaning a room or babysitting a child are far beyond AI's current capabilities, and our cluttered living environments constitute obstacle courses for clumsy robots. Swarm intelligence. But as autonomous technology becomes more agile and more intelligent, we will see some mind-bending and life-saving applications of the technology, particularly with drones. Swarms of autonomous drones will work together to paint the exterior of your home in just a few hours. Heat-resistant drone swarms will fight forest fires with hundreds of times the current efficiency of traditional fire crews. Other drones will perform search and rescue operations in the aftermath of hurricanes and earthquakes, bringing food and water to the stranded and teaming up with nearby drones to airlift people out. Along these lines, China will almost certainly take the lead in autonomous drone technology. Shenzhen is home to DJI, the world's premier drone maker, and what renowned tech journalist Chris Anderson called the best company I have ever encountered. DJI is estimated to already own 50% of the North American drone market, and even larger portions of the high-end segment. The company dedicates enormous resources to research and development, and is already deploying some autonomous drones for industrial and personal use. Swarm technologies are still in their infancy, but when hooked into Shenzhen's unmatched hardware ecosystem, the results will be awe-inspiring. As these swarms transform our skies, autonomous cars will transform our roads. That revolution will also go far beyond transportation, disrupting urban environments, labor markets, and how we organize our days. Companies like Google have clearly demonstrated that self-driving cars will be far safer and more efficient than human drivers. Right now, dozens of startups, technology juggernauts, legacy car makers, and electric vehicle makers are in an all-out sprint to be the first to truly commercialize the technology. Google, Baidu, Uber, Didi, Tesla, and many more are building teams, testing technologies, and gathering data en route to taking human drivers entirely out of the equation. The leaders in that race, Google, with its self-driving spin-off Waymo, and Tesla, represent two different philosophies for autonomous deployment, two approaches with eerie echoes in the policies of the two AI superpowers. The Google approach versus the Tesla approach. Google was the first company to develop autonomous driving technology, but it has been relatively slow to deploy that technology at scale. Behind that caution is an underlying philosophy. Build the perfect product, and then make the jump straight to full autonomy once the system is far safer than human drivers. It's the approach of a perfectionist, one with a very low tolerance for risk to human lives or corporate reputation. It's also a sign of how large a lead Google has on the competition due to its multi-year head start on research. Tesla has taken a more incremental approach in an attempt to make up ground. Elon Musk's company has tacked on limited autonomous features to their cars as soon as they became available. Autopilot for highways, auto-steer for crash avoidance, and self-parking capabilities. It's an approach that accelerates speed of deployment while also accepting a certain level of risk. The two approaches are powered by the same thing that powers AI. Data. Self-driving cars must be trained on millions, maybe billions, of miles of driving data so they can learn to identify objects and predict the movements of cars and pedestrians. That data draws from thousands of different vehicles on the road, and it all feeds into one central brain, the core collection of algorithms that powers decision-making across the fleet. It means that when any autonomous car encounters a new situation, all the cars running on those algorithms learn from it. Google has taken a slow and steady approach to gathering that data, driving around its own small fleet of vehicles equipped with very expensive sensing technologies. Tesla, instead, began installing cheaper equipment on its commercial vehicles, letting Tesla owners gather the data for them when they use certain autonomous features. The different approaches have led to a massive data gap between the two companies. By 2016, Google had taken 6 years to accumulate 1.5 million miles of real-world driving data. In just 6 months, Tesla had accumulated 47 million miles. Google and Tesla are now inching toward one another in terms of approach. Google, perhaps feeling the heat from Tesla and other rivals, accelerated deployment of fully autonomous vehicles, piloting a program with taxi-like vehicles in the Phoenix metropolitan area. Meanwhile, Tesla appears to have pumped the brakes on its rapid rollout of fully autonomous vehicles, a deceleration that followed a May 2016 crash that killed a Tesla owner who was using autopilot. But the fundamental difference in approach remains, and it presents a real trade-off. Google is aiming for impeccable safety, but in the process it has delayed deployment of systems that could likely already save lives. Tesla takes a more techno-utilitarian approach, pushing their cars to market once they are an improvement over human drivers, hoping that the faster rates of data accumulation will train the systems earlier and save lives overall. China's Tesla approach. When managing a country of 1.39 billion people, one in which 260,000 people die in car accidents each year, the Chinese mentality is that you can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. That is, rather than wait for flawless self-driving cars to arrive, Chinese leaders will likely look for ways to deploy more limited autonomous vehicles in controlled settings. That deployment will have the side effect of leading to more exponential growth in the accumulation of data and a corresponding advance in the power of the AI behind it. Key to that incremental deployment will be the construction of new infrastructure specifically made to accommodate autonomous vehicles. In the United States, in contrast, we build self-driving cars to adapt to our existing roads because we assume the roads can't change. In China, there's a sense that everything can change, including current roads. Indeed, local officials are already modifying existing highways, reorganizing freight patterns, and building cities that will be tailor-made for driverless cars. Highway regulators in the Chinese province of Zhejiang have already announced plans to build the country's first intelligent superhighway, infrastructure outfitted from the start for autonomous and electric vehicles. The plan calls for integrating sensors and wireless communication among the road, cars, and drivers to increase speeds by 20-30% and dramatically reduce fatalities. The superhighway will have photovoltaic solar panels built into the road surface, energy that feeds into charging stations for electric vehicles. In the long term, the goal is to be able to continuously charge electric vehicles while they drive. If successful, the project will accelerate deployment of autonomous and electric vehicles, leveraging the fact that long before autonomous AI can handle the chaos of urban driving, it can easily deal with highways, and gather more data in the process. But Chinese officials aren't just adapting existing roads to autonomous vehicles. They're building entirely new cities around the technology. 60 miles south of Beijing sits the Xiong'an New Area, a collection of sleepy villages where the central government has ordered the construction of a showcase city for technological progress and environmental sustainability. The city is projected to take in $583 billion worth of infrastructure spending and reach a population of 2.5 million, nearly as many people as Chicago. The idea of building a new Chicago from the ground up is fairly unthinkable in the United States. But in China, it's just one piece of the government's urban planning toolkit. Xiong'an is poised to be the world's first city built specifically to accommodate autonomous vehicles. Baidu has signed agreements with the local government to build an AI city, with a focus on traffic management, autonomous vehicles, and environmental protection. Adaptations could include sensors in the cement, traffic lights equipped with computer vision, intersections that know the age of pedestrians crossing them, and dramatic reductions in space needed for parked cars. When everyone is hailing his or her own autonomous taxi, why not turn those parking lots into urban parks? Taking things a step further, brand new developments like Xiong'an could even route the traffic in their city centers underground, reserving the heart of town for pedestrians and bicyclists. It's a system that would be difficult, if not impossible, to implement in a world of human drivers prone to human errors that clog up tunnels. But by combining augmented roads, controlled lighting, and autonomous vehicles, an entire underground traffic grid could be running at the speed of highways, while life above ground moves at a more human pace. There's no guarantee that all of these high-flying AI amenities will be rolled out smoothly. Some of China's technologically themed developments have flopped, and some brand new cities have struggled to attract residents. But the central government has placed a high priority on the project, and if successful, cities like Xiong'an will grow up together with autonomous AI. They will benefit from the efficiencies AI brings, and will feed ever more data back into the algorithms. America's current infrastructure means that autonomous AI must adapt to and conquer the cities around it. In China, the government's proactive approach is to transform that conquest into co-evolution. The autonomous balance of power. While all of this may sound exciting and innovative to the Chinese landscape, the hard truth is that no amount of government support can guarantee that China will lead in autonomous AI. When it comes to the core technology needed for self-driving cars, American companies remain 2 to 3 years ahead of China. In technology timelines, that's light years of distance. Part of that stems from the relative importance of elite expertise in fourth wave AI. Safety issues and sheer complexity make autonomous vehicles a much tougher engineering nut to crack. It's a problem that requires a core team of world-class engineers rather than just a broad base of good ones. This tilts the playing field back toward the United States, where the best engineers from around the globe still cluster at companies like Google. Silicon Valley companies also have a substantial head start on research and development, a product of the Valley's proclivity for moonshot projects. Google began testing its self-driving cars as early as 2009, and many of its engineers went on to found early self-driving startups. China's boom in such startups really didn't begin until around 2016. Chinese giants like Baidu and autonomous vehicle startups like Momenta, Jingqi, and Pony AI, however, are rapidly catching up in technology and data. Baidu's Apollo project, an open-source partnership and data-sharing arrangement among 50 autonomous vehicle players, including chipmakers like NVIDIA and automakers like Ford and Daimler, also presents an ambitious alternative to Waymo's closed in-house approach. But even with that rapid catch-up by Chinese players, there's no question that as of this writing, the most experienced self-driving technologists still call America home. Predicting which country takes the lead in autonomous AI largely comes down to one main question. Will the primary bottleneck to full deployment be one of technology or policy? If the most intractable problems for deployment are merely technical ones, Google's Waymo has the best shot at solving them years ahead of the nearest competitor. But if new advances in fields like computer vision quickly disseminate throughout the industry, essentially a rising technical tide lifting all boats, then Silicon Valley's head start on core technology may prove irrelevant. Many companies will become capable of building safe autonomous vehicles, and deployment will then become a matter of policy adaptation. In that universe, China's Tesla-esque policymaking will give its companies the edge. At this point, we just don't yet know where that bottleneck will be, and fourth wave AI remains anyone's game. While today the United States enjoys a commanding lead, 90-10, in 5 years' time, I give the United States and China even odds of leading the world in self-driving cars, with China having the edge in hardware-intensive applications such as autonomous drones. Conquering markets and arming insurgents. What happens when you try to take these game-changing AI products global? Thus far, much of the work done in AI has been contained within the Chinese and U.S. markets, with companies largely avoiding direct competition on the home turf of the other nation. But despite the fact that the United States and China are the two largest economies in the world, the vast majority of AI's future users still live in other countries, many of them in the developing world. Any company that wants to be the Facebook or Google of the AI age needs a strategy for reaching those users and winning those markets. Not surprisingly, Chinese and American tech companies are taking very different approaches to global markets. While America's global juggernauts seek to conquer these markets for themselves, China is instead arming the local startup insurgents. In other words, Silicon Valley giants like Google, Facebook, and Uber want to directly introduce their products to these markets. They'll make limited efforts at localization, but will largely stick to the traditional playbook. They will build one global product and push it out on billions of different users around the globe. It's an all-or-nothing approach with a huge potential upside if the conquest succeeds, but it also has a high chance of leaving empty-handed. Chinese companies are instead steering clear of direct competition and investing in the scrappy local startups that Silicon Valley looks to wipe out. For example, in India and Southeast Asia, Alibaba and Tencent are pouring money and resources into homegrown startups that are fighting tooth and nail against juggernauts like Amazon. It's an approach rooted in the country's own native experience. People like Alibaba founder Jack Ma know how dangerous a ragtag bunch of insurgents can be when battling a monolithic foreign giant. So instead of seeking to both squash those startups and outcompete Silicon Valley, they're throwing their lot in with the locals. Ride-hailing rumble. There are already some precedents for the Chinese approach. Ever since Didi drove Uber out of China, it has invested in and partnered with local startups fighting to do the same thing in other countries. Lyft in the United States, Ola in India, Grab in Singapore, Taxify in Estonia, and Careem in the Middle East. After investing in Brazil's 99 Taxi in 2017, Didi outright acquired the company in early 2018. Together, these startups have formed a global anti-Uber alliance, one that runs on Chinese money and benefits from Chinese know-how. After taking on Didi's investments, some of the startups have even rebuilt their apps in Didi's image, and others are planning to tap into Didi's strength in AI, optimizing driver matching, automatically adjudicating rider-driver disputes, and eventually rolling out autonomous vehicles. We don't know the current depth of these technical exchanges, but they could serve as an alternate model of AI globalization. Empower homegrown startups by marrying worldwide AI expertise to local data. It's a model built more on cooperation than conquest, and it may prove better suited to globalizing a technology that requires both top-quality engineers and ground-up data collection. AI has a much higher localization quotient than earlier internet services. Self-driving cars in India need to learn the way pedestrians navigate the streets of Bangalore, and micro-lending apps in Brazil need to absorb the spending habits of millennials in Rio de Janeiro. Some algorithmic training can be transferred between different user bases, but there's no substitute for actual real-world data. Silicon Valley juggernauts do have some insight into the search and social habits in these countries, but building businesses, perception, and autonomous AI products will require companies to put real boots on the ground in each market. They will need to install hardware devices and localize AI services for the quirks of North African shopping malls and Indonesian hospitals. Projecting global power outward from Silicon Valley via computer code may not be the long-term answer. Of course, no one knows the endgame for this global AI chess match. American companies could suddenly boost their localization efforts, leverage their existing products, and end up dominating all countries except China. Or a new generation of tenacious entrepreneurs in the developing world could use Chinese backing to create local empires impenetrable to Silicon Valley. If the latter scenario unfolds, China's tech giants wouldn't dominate the world, but they would play a role everywhere, improve their own algorithms using training data from many markets, and take home a substantial chunk of the profits generated. Looking ahead. Scanning the AI horizon, we see waves of technology that will soon wash over the global economy and tilt the geopolitical landscape toward China. Traditional American companies are doing a good job of using deep learning to squeeze greater profits from their businesses, and AI-driven companies like Google remain bastions of elite expertise. But when it comes to building new internet empires, changing the way we diagnose illnesses, or reimagining how we shop, move, and eat, China seems poised to seize global leadership. Chinese and American internet companies have taken different approaches to winning local markets, and as these AI services filter out to every corner of the world, they may engage in proxy competition in countries like India, Indonesia, and parts of the Middle East and Africa. This analysis sheds light on the emerging AI world order, but it also showcases one of the blind spots in our AI discourse: the tendency to discuss it solely as a horse race. Who's ahead? What are the odds for each player? Who's going to win? This kind of competition matters, but if we dig deeper into the coming changes, we find that far weightier questions lurk just below the surface. When the true power of artificial intelligence is brought to bear, the real divide won't be between countries like the United States and China. Instead, the most dangerous fault lines will emerge within each country, and they will possess the power to tear them apart from the inside. 6. Utopia, Dystopia, and the Real AI Crisis. All of the AI products and services outlined in the previous chapter are within reach based on current technologies. Bringing them to the market requires no major new breakthroughs in AI research, just the nuts and bolts work of everyday implementation: gathering data, tweaking formulas, iterating algorithms and experiments in different combinations, prototyping products, and experimenting with business models. But the age of implementation has done more than make these practical products possible. It has also set ablaze the popular imagination when it comes to AI. It has fed a belief that we're on the verge of achieving what some consider the holy grail of AI research: artificial general intelligence, AGI. Thinking machines with the ability to perform any intellectual task that a human can, and much more. Some predict that with the dawn of AGI, machines that can improve themselves will trigger runaway growth in computer intelligence. Often called the singularity, or artificial superintelligence, this future involves computers whose ability to understand and manipulate the world dwarfs our own, comparable to the intelligence gap between human beings and, say, insects. Such dizzying predictions have divided much of the intellectual community into two camps: utopians and dystopians. The utopians see the dawn of AGI and subsequent singularity as the final frontier in human flourishing, an opportunity to expand our own consciousness and conquer mortality. Ray Kurzweil, the eccentric inventor, futurist, and guru in residence at Google, envisions a radical future in which humans and machines have fully merged. "We will upload our minds to the cloud," he predicts, "and constantly renew our bodies through intelligent nanobots released into our bloodstream." Kurzweil predicts that by 2029, we will have computers with intelligence comparable to that of humans, that is to say, AGI, and that we will reach the singularity by 2045. Other utopian thinkers see AGI as something that will enable us to rapidly decode the mysteries of the physical universe. DeepMind founder Demis Hassabis predicts that the creation of superintelligence will allow human civilization to solve intractable problems, producing inconceivably brilliant solutions to global warming and previously incurable diseases. With superintelligent computers that understand the universe on levels that humans cannot even conceive of, these machines become not just tools for lightening the burdens of humanity, they approach the omniscience and omnipotence of a god. Not everyone, however, is so optimistic. Elon Musk has called superintelligence the biggest risk we face as a civilization, comparing the creation of it to summoning the demon. Intellectual celebrities such as the late cosmologist Stephen Hawking have joined Musk in the dystopian camp, many of them inspired by the work of Oxford philosopher Nick Bostrom, whose 2014 book Superintelligence captured the imagination of many futurists. For the most part, members of the dystopian camp aren't worried about the AI takeover as imagined in films like the Terminator series, with human-like robots turning evil and hunting down people in a power-hungry conquest of humanity. Superintelligence would be the product of human creation, not natural evolution. and thus wouldn't have the same instincts for survival, reproduction, or domination that motivate humans or animals. Instead, it would likely just seek to achieve the goals given to it in the most efficient way possible. The fear is that if human beings presented an obstacle to achieving one of those goals, reverse global warming, for example, a superintelligent agent could easily, even accidentally, wipe us off the face of the Earth. For a computer program whose intellectual imagination so dwarfed our own, this wouldn't require anything as crude as gun-toting robots. Superintelligence's profound understanding of chemistry, physics, and nanotechnology would allow for far more ingenious ways to instantly accomplish its goals. Researchers refer to this as the control problem, or value alignment problem. And it's something that worries even AGI optimists. Although timelines for these capabilities vary widely, Bostrom's book presents surveys of AI researchers giving a median prediction of 2040 for the creation of AGI, with superintelligence likely to follow within 3 decades of that. But read on. Reality check. When utopian and dystopian visions of the superintelligent future are discussed publicly, they inspire both awe and a sense of dread in audiences. Those all-consuming emotions then blur the lines in our minds separating these fantastical futures from our current age of AI implementation. The result is widespread popular confusion over where we truly stand today and where things are headed. To be clear, none of the scenarios described above, the immortal digital minds or omnipotent superintelligences, are possible based on today's technologies. There remain no known algorithms for AGI or a clear engineering route to get there. The singularity is not something that can occur spontaneously, with autonomous vehicles running on deep learning suddenly waking up and realizing that they can band together to form a superintelligent network. Getting to AGI would require a series of foundational scientific breakthroughs in artificial intelligence, a string of advances on the scale of, or greater than, deep learning. These breakthroughs would need to remove key constraints on the narrow AI programs that we run today and empower them with a wide array of new abilities: multi-domain learning, domain-independent learning, natural language understanding, common sense reasoning, planning, and learning from a small number of examples. Taking the next step to emotionally intelligent robots may require self-awareness, humor, love, empathy, and appreciation for beauty. These are the key hurdles that separate what AI does today, spotting correlations in data and making predictions, and artificial general intelligence. Any one of these new abilities may require multiple huge breakthroughs. AGI implies solving all of them. The mistake of many AGI forecasts is to simply take the rapid rate of advance from the past decade and extrapolate it outward or launch it exponentially upward in an unstoppable snowballing of computer intelligence. Deep learning represents a major leveling up in machine learning, a movement onto a new plateau with a variety of real-world uses, the age of implementation. But there is no proof that this upward change represents the beginning of exponential growth that will inevitably race toward AGI and then superintelligence at an ever-increasing pace. Science is difficult, and fundamental scientific breakthroughs are even harder. Discoveries like deep learning that truly raised the bar for machine intelligence are rare and often separated by decades, if not longer. Implementations and improvements on these breakthroughs abound, and researchers at places like DeepMind have demonstrated powerful new approaches to things like reinforcement learning. But in the 12 years since Geoffrey Hinton and his colleagues' landmark paper on deep learning, I haven't seen anything that represents a similar sea change in machine intelligence. Yes, the AI scientists surveyed by Bostrom predicted a median date of 2040 for AGI, but I believe scientists tend to overestimate when an academic demonstration will become a real-world product. To wit, in the late 1980s, I was the world's leading researcher on AI speech recognition and I joined Apple because I believed the technology would go mainstream within 5 years. It turned out that I was off by 20 years. I cannot guarantee that scientists definitely will not make the breakthroughs that would bring about AGI and then superintelligence. In fact, I believe we should expect continual improvements to the existing state of the art. But I believe we are still many decades, if not centuries, away from the real thing. There is also a real possibility that AGI is something humans will never achieve. Artificial general intelligence would be a major turning point in the relationship between humans and machines, what many predict would be the most significant single event in the history of the human race. It's a milestone that I believe we should not cross until we have first definitively solved all problems of control and safety. But given the relatively slow rate of progress on fundamental scientific breakthroughs, I and other AI experts, among them Andrew Ng and Rodney Brooks, believe AGI remains farther away than often imagined. Does that mean I see nothing but steady material progress and glorious human flourishing in our AI future? Not at all. Instead, I believe that civilization will soon face a different kind of AI-induced crisis. This crisis will lack the apocalyptic drama of a Hollywood blockbuster, but it will disrupt our economic and political systems all the same, and even cut to the core of what it means to be human in the 21st century. In short, this is the coming crisis of jobs and inequality. Our present AI capabilities can't create a superintelligence that destroys our civilization, but my fear is that we humans may prove more than up to that task ourselves. Folding Beijing. Science fiction visions and AI economics. When the clock strikes 6 a.m., the city devours itself. Densely packed buildings of concrete and steel bend at the hip and twist at their spines. External balconies and awnings are turned inward, creating smooth and tightly sealed exteriors. Skyscrapers break down into component parts, shuffling and consolidating into Rubik's cubes of industrial proportions. Inside those blocks are the residents of Beijing's third space, the economic underclass that toils during the night hours and sleeps during the day. As the cityscape folds in on itself, a patchwork of squares on the Earth's surface begin their 180-degree rotation, flipping over to tuck these consolidated structures underground. When the other side of these squares turns skyward, they reveal a separate city. The first rays of dawn creep over the horizon as this new city emerges from its crouch. Tree-lined streets, vast public parks, and beautiful single-family homes begin to unfold, spreading outward until they have covered the surface entirely. The residents of First Space stir from their slumber, stretching their limbs and looking out on a world all their own. These are visions of Hao Jingfeng, a Chinese science fiction writer and economics researcher. Hao's novelette Folding Beijing won the prestigious Hugo Award in 2016 for its arresting depiction of a city in which economic classes are separated into different worlds. In a futuristic Beijing, the city is divided into three economic castes that split time on the city's surface. 5 million residents of the elite first space enjoy a 24-hour cycle beginning at 6 a.m., a full day and night in a clean, hyper-modern, uncluttered city. When first space folds up and flips over, the 20 million residents of second space get 16 hours to work across a somewhat less glamorous cityscape. Finally, the denizens of third space, 50 million sanitation workers, food vendors, and menial laborers, emerge for an 8-hour shift from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., toiling in the dark among the skyscrapers and trash pits. The trash sorting jobs that are a pillar of the third space could be entirely automated, but are instead done manually to provide employment for the unfortunate denizens condemned to life there. Travel between the different spaces is forbidden, creating a society in which the privileged residents of first space can live free of worry that the unwashed masses will contaminate their techno-utopia. The real AI crisis. This dystopian story is a work of science fiction, but one rooted in real fears about economic stratification and unemployment in our automated future. Hao holds a PhD in economics and management from prestigious Tsinghua University. For her day job, she conducts economics research